Good morning, everybody.
Let's open in prayer.
Father, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you so much for this morning already, for the songs that we've sang and how we've been able to praise you and bless you and how you have in turn have blessed us. And Father, how you're touching us already and how you are speaking to our very spirit, Father God. We're just grateful. We truly are. And we thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to share your word, to share your heart, to share your spirit. Father, your word especially, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, good morning, everybody. Excuse me, I got just a little bit of a kind of, I'm trying to say it's not a cold, but it's trying to be something. So I'll just fight it right along. But I'll tell you, when I was asked to speak for this particular weekend, I thought, thank you, Lord. First of all, today's a special day because it's a day just before our Resurrection Sunday. It's a special day in Christian history. And I'm not going to go into that particular, but today was a great day where Jesus came into Jerusalem in a very special way. And as I was thinking this week, Lord, what do you want me to share? This week has been an interesting week for me, not going to lie. My week could be summed up in one word, and the word is chaos. And it would be nice if I could say that the word was nice, easy, calm, but it just was not. And so as the week went along, I was speaking with somebody on the phone, someone here in church, and she said, I'm praying for you. And I thought, whoa, thank you so much. And then yesterday I was at an event, and one of our sisters were there, and she said, I'm praying for you. And this morning I walk in, and another one of my sisters says, I'm praying for you. And I thought, this just goes right along with what the Lord gave me this week. And as I was coming through and I was saying, okay, Lord, what do you want me to share about? That kept coming one word, giants. And the thought kept coming to me, what are your giants? What are the giants in your land? What are the giants that you have to walk alongside or follow after you or want to hold your hand? What are your giants? And as I asked the Lord what particular direction, he said, what are the giants in our life? What are the giants in your life, Sandy? What are the giants in the lives of those that are brothers and sisters here in the church? And we all have them. If we say, no, we don't have any giants, well, that's a giant in itself of deception. We all have giants in our lives. Many of them could be anxiety. It could be discouragement. It could be fear. It could be frustration. It could be who we work with. It could be our job itself. It could be who we live with. It could be those that are in our family. And there are lots of different giants in our land. And the Lord, I mean, just turn on television and you'll see that our world is full of trouble. Our world is not happy right now. Our world is full of discord and frustration and fear. There's so much going on. And I began to pray about it. And he says, okay, Lord, what do you want me to share this morning? And he just put in my heart, he says, Sandy, you live Sunday to Sunday. I go, well, yeah, I mean, that's kind of like the way it works. But it was like, no, you live Sunday to Sunday. And so I began to think about what he meant by live Sunday to Sunday. And it was like, I live to get to church so that I can get enough in me so that I can go back out into the world and get beat down and come back on a Sunday so I can get raised back up again so I can, you know, be ready to go out, walk out those doors and immediately get beat down. And he says, you're living Sunday to Sunday. And I thought, okay, That's a good point, because I do. I come in and I get ready and I get going. And as I began to pray, the Lord said, the church is living Sunday to Sunday. He says, my body is coming into this building and they get built up. You're supposed to. But instead of going back out in a defensive mode, he says, I want my body, my family, my kids to go out in an offensive mode. He said, because I'm a football freak. He says, you know, you have defensive side and the offensive side. He says, and too many of us are always on the defense. it's like, okay. And he says, no, I want them to walk out and be on the offensive mode. I want them to walk out prepared and stay prepared so that when they come back the next week, they're not coming back just so they get enough to make another week, but so that they come back strong and leave even stronger so they can go out even stronger that week and stay stronger and come back stronger and then come back stronger. He says, that makes an army. Right now, he says, we're defensive. We're defensive. And as I put my heart into that and I began to say, okay, Lord, then what's our mindset? Our mindset needs to be, bring it on, world. Bring it on. Our attitude needs to change, not, oh no, here we go again. Oh no, you know, I walk out the door. It's like, okay, here comes the world. I'll go home, put on my jammies, sit in my chair, and just sit there and drink a cup of hot tea or hot chocolate and just let the world leave me alone. If I don't think about it, it's not there. And when Monday comes and it has to start again, oh boy, here we go. But the Lord began to put in my heart, we need to be giant killers. And I thought, okay, well, who's the ultimate giant killer? Obviously, David. And so I began to think a little bit about David, and everybody knows about David. I mean, we studied David as kids and who he was and what he did and how he survived and what he did in his life. And so I thought, okay, well, what made David so special? David was a young person. For one thing, it was his attitude. David's attitude wasn't, woe is me. David said, where's the lion? Where's the bear? You know, there's a giant, not a problem. What's your problem? You know, you should have my attitude, the attitude that God is enough. God is enough. And so I thought, okay, Lord, I don't have a David attitude. My attitude is, okay, here we go again. It was like the Lord saying, too many of us walk out of here with that attitude of, I'm just going to go put my defensive stuff on again, my defensive armor. And the Lord gave us offensive armor as well. So I began to say, okay, Lord, then what do you want me to be? Who am I? And he says, I want you to have the attitude of who you really are. You're a child of the king. In fact, not only are you a child of the king, he says, I don't want you to forget that you're a child of the king. I don't want you just to hear it today, but he says, I want you to have the attitude. You're a child of the king every single day, not just on Sundays when you're getting, you know, putting your armor on today. It's like you take your armor off when you go home. So I began to think, okay, so I began to write things down. We are overcomers. We are king's kids. We are the head and not the tail. We are never alone. We have a light for our path. We are written in the palm of our Father's hands. He never sleeps and he never slumbers. He walks with us through the fires of our lives. He lifts us up out of the pit we may find ourselves in. So why do we allow ourselves to get into the mully grubs? Why do we allow ourselves to get in depression, anxiety, or become discouraged? It all has to do with our mindset. And here's the key. It all has to do with who are we listening to? Are we listening to our Heavenly Father who does speak to us regularly right out of the Word if we'll get into it? He'll speak to our hearts. Or are we listening to the enemy of our soul who wants to destroy us? Now, a lot of people don't want to talk or think about our enemy. But you know what? We have one. And if you really stop and really do research or search into the Bible or do word search into the Bibles, you'll find army a lot. We're in the army of God. We're in a fight. We're in the battle. You know, we're all these different references to fighting or army or battle or war. And that means there's something going on. And if there's something going on, that means we have an enemy. That means we need to know who our enemy is. That means we need to recognize who is out there and what is going on. And if we just close our eyes like there is no problem, there is no enemy, I'll just hide myself and it'll go away. If I don't think about it, it won't happen. If I don't think about it, it's not happening around me. And Lord says, I want you to recognize you have an enemy. And it's not that we have to do a word search or study on the devil, but at the very same time, you got to remember there is one. You got to remember that there is an enemy. If you think about in the real world and there is a war, a good general will train his people to know how to fight their enemy. They will research their enemy. They will understand their enemy, and they will understand how to fight their enemy. And it's like we as Christians, we just want to just sometimes just like if it doesn't happen, if I don't see it, it's not happening. So we do this. If I can't see it, it's not happening. You know, and the Lord is saying, no, I want you to have an attitude of bring it on, because I am going to be doing what I need to do to prepare for when it comes. Now, we don't have to even say bring it on, because it'll be there anyway. But if we have the attitude bring it on, we're telling the enemy, I am prepared. You know, I am ready for whatever you have for me. I am ready for the enemy that wants to punch me in the face. Then I'm just going to stand up and punch you right back. Enemy. He doesn't want us feeling sorry for ourselves. He wants us to be able to stand up and say, you know what? Now, even, I don't want to say be macho in it, but at the same time, be strong in it. Have the attitude of, you know what? Not in a false attitude, but an attitude, I am a king's kid, and I have a right to have a good attitude being a king's kid. I'm a princess. You're princes. You know, we have a right to stand up and say, God can help me through this trial. And I feel good that I have a daddy that loves me enough to prepare me for the battle. I have a daddy that loves me enough to give me what I need to be able to protect me. We can't feel sorry about our negative circumstances. We're going to have them. Jesus had them. Jesus had negative circumstances. He did not have an easy time while he was here on earth. But Jesus stood in that, and he stood against that, and he trained others how to stand. He trained us how to stand and how to come against the enemy. And here's the key. We have to learn from our circumstances. We have to learn when we go through a trial that trial is also there for us something to learn. I will tell you, been in the ministry a long time. One particular ministry I was in was 25 years, and it was a tough ministry to be in. It was hard. It wasn't an easy ministry to be in. We had to have financial things on a regular basis to keep us going. We had things coming against us from the world. There were a lot of things that came against us in ministry. And I look back at the things that I went through, and I remember thinking 5 years in, because I was there for 25 years, I remember 5 years in, something happened. I thought, man, if that would have happened 5 years ago, I'd have been on my face. 10 years in, something happened. It was like, oh my gosh, if that would have happened 5 years ago, I would have been on my face. 15 years in, it was like, oh my gosh, what has just hit me? But I wouldn't have been able to make it 5 years ago. And I remember thinking, you know what? I am building spiritual muscles here. And that's, I excuse me, Haas. But how do you want to become strong? I watch Haas on Facebook or on... Haas is lifting heavy weights. I don't know if you've seen that. It's like, oh my gosh, don't break anything. You know, don't bust something, brother. But you're lifting like a lot. How much now are you lifting? 400. I mean, like, that's like three of me. You know, I mean, it's like, wow. But Haas didn't do that overnight. Haas began to lift a little bit at a time. We as Christians, we don't go out and try and lift 405 pounds all at once. And God won't ask us to. But he'll give us 5 pounds and then we're strong. Then 10 pounds and then we're strong. And then 20 pounds and then we're strong. And that's what's happening to us now as Christians. We are going through a time of learning how to be strong. But the key is lifting the weight. Don't run from the weight. If you go and sit in your recliner and think, I'm not going to lift that weight, the weight's just going to be over there, I'm not even going to mess with the weight. But the Lord's saying, I will help you through this trial. I will help you lift that weight. If you'll let me help you, the key is the choice. The weight is going to be there. The trial is going to be there, and it's what you do with it. It's how you walk through it. It's how you come through it. And what you learn through it, that's going to make you the person that's going to make you the king's kid that you want to be. Our life is a series of lifting weights. It's from trial to trial, circumstance to circumstance. And so now the key is, what am I going to do in this circumstance? How am I going to do that? And the Lord gives us some things that we're going to look at in the Word. But here's the key. When I walk through deep waters, He's going to be there right beside me. When I am going through things where I feel like the water is like literally just under my nose, and if I step any one way or the other, it feels like it's going to go over my head, God's right there holding my hand. God is right there walking with me. God is right there through the hard times. He never tires. And guess what? He never sleeps. When I'm so tired, I can hardly, whatever, I can't walk another step, He's just as strong as He was before. And now it's my choice. Am I going to step back and just allow Him to help me? There are times, honestly, where He carries us. There are times in our life where we are at a point where we just maybe don't have a lot of strength. And we shouldn't feel guilty for that. That's when He picks us up and carries us. But at the same time, we can't just piggyback on God the rest of our lives. God says, now it's time for you to start walking again. I picked you up in this window of time, in this time of hurt, in this time of pain, but you have to grow up, Sandy. I helped you in this one time, but now you are stronger. You have chosen to let me help you. You are stronger. Now I'm going to put you down, and you're going to walk again. And it may come a time where He has to pick me up again. It may happen. In fact, most likely, if I'm living and breathing in a month or two, He may have to pick me up again. But here's the key. The key is I don't choose to let my dad just carry me the rest of my life. I'm going to choose to be strong, okay? I'm going to need help. Help me, God. And He may send help from my sisters. He may send help through my pastor and his wife. He may send help through family members. But at the same time, when I get that help, after I get the help that I need, then I have to turn around and say, I'm not going to live in that. I'm not going to live in the mully grubs. I'm not going to live in depression. I'm not going to live in that mourning time. I'm going to step out of that because I am a child of the King, and I am a giant killer, and I am going to walk out of that. So we can't feel guilty if we start getting kind of like down, because there are going to be times when we will get down. It just happens. That's life. But life is a big circle. We continually go. We don't just stay in one spot. They talk in Ecclesiastes time, there's a time for this and a time for that. There is a time for mourning, but we don't live in that. There is a time for weeping, but we don't live in that. There are all these times. There are seasons, but seasons change. I posted on Facebook this morning, spring didn't get the memo. This is spring. This is not winter. I mean, like January felt better than it felt like this morning. But there are seasons in our life, and that means that we are continually moving. He will not leave us. He will not desert us. Even though maybe sometimes you think the world has, God never does. He never does. Now, here's a key. Here's something to hang on to for this week. We have to learn to trust Him. We have to learn to give Him that situation and trust Him with it. I know I have prayed for things in my life, and it's stuff that's like, oh my gosh, God, take care of this. And as soon as I give it to Him to take care of, I rip it out of His hand and say, I'll take care of it. I can do this. And the Lord says, excuse me, you gave that to me. Let me help you. I can do it better than you can. I can take care of this situation if you will trust me. Let me help you, and then trust me to help you with the circumstance and with the outcome and with the reward at the end. There are giants in our life, but we can be giant slayers. We do not have to be the victim. We can be the victor. It's our choice. It's our choice. The key is trusting in our Heavenly Father. He has a way of doing things that's perfect. You know, He has not just the Heavenly Father. We used to pray in our house. We always pray, Lord, thank you so much for sending your heavenly angels. Thank you for your angels that literally have the flaming swords that are at the back door and the front door, above and below. And when Eric, my son, was 4 years old, he began to pray, Lord, thank you for the heavenly angels with the flaming swords. Put one by my door and put one by my back door. And Lord, thank you for the angel at that flaming sword in my front door. And I remember thinking, God, He gets it. He gets it. And I was like, I need to continue praying that myself. That's a child's prayer. That's our prayer as adults. Lord, thank you for your angels too. You send entities to help us. Now, if you believe the Bible and you believe that there really are heavenly angels that are coming to help us, to come to our defense, then you also have to believe there are bad ones. So if there are bad ones, then there are bad ones that have a, what is the word, a design. They have a cue from their leader to go get Sandy. They have a map, a road map, to go take care of this person and that person. And that's why we need to have in our own self armor to protect us. And Ephesians 6, if you could open up your Bible to Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to read together and do a little, just a quick word study in the Bible. Ephesians 6, beginning in verse 10. We're just going to have a little Bible study together here. And this is something that has really touched my heart for years and years. And for all of us who've maybe been in church since we were like just like 3-4 days old, you have heard this story more than once. But this is not just a story. This is a roadmap. Okay, Ephesians 6, verse 10, in conclusion, that he's been talking and talking and giving us information and helping us to be the best that we can be. And I'm reading this out of the Amplified, so it may be most likely a whole lot different than yours, but it just kind of amplifies the words, so there's going to be some extra here. But it says, in conclusion, so Sandy, in conclusion, church, in conclusion, be strong in the Lord, or be empowered through your union with him. Draw your strength from him, that strength which is his boundless might that he provides. Now, he's telling us to be strong. He's telling us to be the army we're supposed to be. He's telling us to be the giant killers we're supposed to be. He's telling us to choose wisely. 11, put on God's whole armor, the armor of the heavy armed soldier, which God supplies, that you may be able to successfully stand up against all the strategies and the deceits of the devil. Now here's a verb, put on, do something. He's not saying, now I'm going to come and dress you today, Sandy. Get ready, because here I come. He's saying, put it on, Sandy. Sandy, choose this day what you're going to do. Put on the armor. Don't take it off. Put it on. This talks about warfare. This talks about going into battle. And he says it's the heavy arms which a soldier would wear that God supplies. Why? So we can successfully stand up against all the strategies and the deceits. Now, he's telling us right now, we have an enemy who has strategies. We have an enemy who's thinking how to destroy us. If you want to really mess with me and you come against me, I'll do my best. You know, you can hit me, whatever. I'll stand. But you go after my kid. Now we got something else to talk about. Don't go after my kid. And that's what the enemy does. He hates God so much that he goes after God's heart. And we are God's heart. We're his kids. So his strategy to really hurt God is to hurt us. So that's why he loves doing what he does, because he hates God that much. His strategies are, what can he do to harm us, and the deceits of the devil. He wants to harm us. And the Lord says, okay, kids, here's the deal. The enemy's ticked at me. And so I'm going to give you some things that's going to help you manage through your day. Because the enemy hates me so much, he's going to come after you. So I want to help you. I want to help my kids. But it's our choice whether we put these things on or not. That's not going to stop the devil from coming after us. He'll come after us whether we have the armor on or not. If you're getting beat all to pieces, you don't have your armor on. If you're getting trampled on and you feel depressed and you feel like you've been stepped on and you feel like, oh my gosh, what am I even doing? I don't want to talk to anybody. You look at me sideways, I'm going to punch you out. I'm just so frustrated. Guess what? You're not wearing your armor. Because if you're wearing your armor, these things will bounce off. It says so. Okay, for we are not wrestling with flesh and blood. Believe it or not, the enemy uses people to come after us or come at us. He uses individuals to harm us. But who is pushing these people in that direction? We are not wrestling with flesh and blood, contending only with physical opponents, but against despotisms, against powers, against the master spirits who are the world rulers of this present darkness, against spirit forces of wickedness in the heavenly supernatural sphere. Now, if you believe in God and you believe in good angels, guys, there are bad ones. And they have a design from their leader. They are given a map. They are given a piece, you know, something for themselves. Go after Sandy. Sandy's going to be really busy this week. Sandy has got this, this, and this, and she's not going to get a lot of sleep this week. And things are going to come at her, so we want you to do this, this, and this. It's like, whoa, that's their strategy. And you know what? This week, they were good at it. Chaos reigned in my world this week. And it was like, you know what? I am not going to allow that to destroy me. But I will tell you, up front, it was starting to get to me. And when I started to want to say bad words to my phone, I'm thinking, I am going to backslide in about 10 seconds. Something's wrong with this picture. I left something at home. It's called my armor. I better make sure I am where I'm supposed to be, or I am not going to be a pretty person in about 10 seconds. The enemy knows where, when to get us, where to get us, how to get us, because he knows us, but so does our Father. And our Father says, I want you to know, he has strategies against you, but guess what? I'm going to give you some powerful tools to combat the enemy. 13, therefore, put on God's complete armor, meaning that I have different things for you, not just one. I have different things that you may be able to resist and stand your ground on that evil day of danger. And having done all that the crisis demands, stand firmly in your place. Wow. I mean, that really says so much. First of all, put on the complete armor. And that way we can resist. We can stand. And it says here, having done all that the crisis demands, because there's going to be stuff you need to do. There's going to be things that demands. If you want to win this battle, get ready, because I'm going to give you the tools to win. Now it's your choice to pick them up and use them. 14 says, stand therefore. Hold your ground, having tightened the belt of truth around your loins and having put on a breastplate of integrity and moral rectitude and right standing with God. Okay, we will stand, but you know what? In truth. And having integrity, that's huge for us Christians. I can't tell you how many times I've had people say, you mean that person's a Christian? You mean really the way they treated that situation? You know, to me, I want to go 5 extra steps beyond what I'm asked or expected to do, because I want people looking back and going, yep, she's a Christian. Yes, she is. That's what I strive to do. Whether I'm always good at it, I'm not going to go there. But I strive to do that. I want to be the best that I can be. And the thing is, and right standing with God. Yeah, I want my Heavenly Father to say, well done, daughter. I want my Heavenly Father to look down and say, wow, that's my kid. That's my kid right there. I want to be in right standing with my God, my Heavenly Father. 15, and having shod your feet in preparation to face the enemy with firm-footed stability, the promptness and the readiness produced by the good news or the gospel of peace. Hear it again. Having my feet prepared. I'm facing my enemy. I am standing firm-footed. I am just like this thing is about as stable as anything in my whole world that I get around. I could not even lift this thing. This is a heavy piece of stuff you built, Shane. Something firm, something steady, something that will hold up a situation. That's what he wants us to be, firm. Stand steady. When something hits me, not to knock me back 10 paces, but to step into it. Go ahead. Take your best shot. Go ahead. Take your best shot. God's with me. That's what David, the giant killer, was like. Bring on the lion. Bring on the bear. Bring on the giant. His attitude. He was just a young person. But what did that young person have? He had the word in him. He had the spirit in him. He had God's spirit in his very depths of his soul. He sang to God. He sang to him. He had psalms just pouring out of him of love towards the Heavenly Father. How wonderful was that? 16. Lift up. Overall, or covering, a shield of saving faith upon which you can quench all the flaming missiles of the wicked one. Wow, thank you, Lord. I'm going to lift up a shield. It's my faith. It's my belief that I can walk, that I can be prepared, that I can fight this thing, that I can be an overcomer, that I am the head and not the tail. I can make it through this. I can. And when the flaming missiles hit, it would bounce off the shield. Flaming missile hits, bounce off the shield. Now this week, a flaming missile hit and it got through the shield. Not gonna lie. I had to pull that sucker out. Say, okay, Lord, help me here. Because I was tired, I was busy, I was doing this and this, and 10,000 things hit me about 2 days in a row. And one of them got through, and I wasn't happy. And I went home, and I'm like, rrr! I thought, wait a minute. This is not the way it's supposed to be. I'm not supposed to be yelling at my phone. Well, it was a new phone, and it wouldn't behave. It was one of those smarter-than-me phones. And I had an 11 o'clock deadline while I'm teaching, like a 12-hour day, and I could not do certain things. And I had an 11 o'clock deadline to get something done or it's going to die. And my phone wouldn't let me get my voice messages. And I'm like just like twitching, you know. And when I went straight to Verizon after the class I was teaching. I was like, you're going to take this sucker back. I'm in my two-week window because I am not keeping it. And this girl says, says, well, what's wrong with it? I thought, I'm going to slap her jaw off. What's wrong with it? It won't behave. Well, what's wrong? What's the deal? It won't let me get a voice message. Well, let me show you how. I thought, I'm going to kill the girl. But I'm going to be a Christian about it. Here's my phone. And I just kept a smile on my face all the time inside. The fiery darts are just wanting to just... And I thought, now hold on. Hold on. Hold on. And I'm talking to myself while she says, looky here. Just touch that. Oh, looky here. Just punch that. And I'm going, I want to punch it, all right. And you know, within about 20 minutes, she said, now this is how it works. And I'm going... Oh my gosh, can I, and I did, I says, can I take you home with me? Here's a girl I want to hit. Now I just want to take you home. I need you for about 48 hours, then I'll bring you back. And she laughed and she said, come back on Wednesday and we'll have another little class. And I thought, oh, you are the sweetest little thing. But here's the thing, I went in there not happy. A dart got through, a flaming missile got through. It really did. I'm not perfect. None of us are. But at the same time, it was like, what am I going to do about that? Lord, forgive me. I allowed something to get through. I am not perfect. None of us are. There are times when we're going to mess up, but just like when we had our kids growing up, were our kids perfect? For the record, yeah. But in real life... No, we're not perfect. We're not perfect. So when we mess up, God says, here's the deal. When you mess up, Sandy, I will pick you up and I will help you. You did let a fiery missile get through. Let's pull it out, dust you off, get you back where you're supposed to be, and be the giant killer you're supposed to be. After about Tuesday, I was much better. And it was like, okay, Lord, I messed up on Monday, and I was better on Tuesday. But why did I mess up on Monday? Because I wasn't prepared. I was overtired. I had too many things coming at me. And what did I not do? I didn't stop and say, okay, God, help me. Instead, I just went right through face first and made a mess of something. I did that. Sandy did that. And the Lord was speaking to my heart, and he says, there are a lot of people that are going to be in this room today that had that kind of week, just like you did. They let a firing missile come through, and they did a few things this week that they probably wish they could start the week over, because maybe a few things were said, a few things were done, and like, can we just have a reset and go back to Monday day? And the Lord says, it's okay, you're my kids, I understand. But here's the deal, today, Sunday, let's not leave this building in a defensive posture. Let's leave this building in an offensive posture. Let's leave this building as a giant killer. Let's leave this building with all of our armor firmly in place. And so when the enemy comes in like a flood, we can pull up that standard against it. When the fiery and flaming missiles come, we can put up our shield and it will bounce off. When something comes at us and when we want to say something, we will speak the word of the Bible instead of the word of our flesh. God said, be offensive this week in a good way, not defensive this week in a bad way. On page 6:17, take up the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The word of God is our helmet and our sword. Our helmet of salvation and our sword of the Spirit. Okay, we finally got an offensive weapon. Everything's been helping us. But now I have an offensive weapon. I have something to go after the enemy with, and it's the word. When Jesus was on the earth and he was having some issues and he was getting down because he'd been out in the desert and not eating and things were coming at him, and the devil came at him when he was at his weakest. That's just his strategy. What did Jesus do? He pulled out the sword of the Spirit and shoved the word right in his face. That's what the Lord wants us to do. And then 18, pray at all times, on every occasion, in every season, in the Spirit, with all manner of prayer and entreaty. That was my heart this week. Pray at all times, on every occasion, in every season, in the Spirit, in all manner of prayer and entreaty. I can pray speaking out loud. I like to write prayer sometimes. I like to sing to the Lord sometimes, just in the car, singing to the Lord sometimes. There are different ways we communicate. Pray just doesn't mean, God help me, I'm in trouble. Prayer is communication. If I want to have a relationship with somebody in this building, then I have to have a communication between us. I can't just see you across the room and wave and expect to have a relationship with you. Unless we can have a communication, unless we can talk one-on-one, unless we can meet together, unless we can kind of have some communion, we will not have a relationship. And God says, pray. That's just a word. He's saying, talk to me, kid. Speak to me. Talk to me. Let me have a conversation, and then listen. There's nothing worse than having a friend that just talks, and then when you want to say a word, they say, okay, got to go, bye. What kind of a friend is that? A friend is a communication type of a situation where you talk and I listen, and then I talk and you listen. That's what God wants from us. Don't just sit there and blast everything out at him and then say, got to go now. He's saying, wait a minute, I had something to say. Well, I'm too busy. I got to go. Well, what kind of a relationship is that? How are you going to know what the strategies that he wants us to do if we're not listening to him? How are we going to know what to do this week to be the best that we can be and have the strategies that he wants us to play out if we won't stop and listen to what he has to say? Because he's got lots to say. He has lots to say to us. He's saying, to that end, keep alert and watch with purpose and perseverance, interceding, and here's my part that touched me this week, on behalf of all the saints, God's consecrated people. And I had several different people tell me they were praying for me this week. It's like, that meant a lot to me this week. You have no idea. When I had people say, I'm praying for you this week because this week I really needed it this week. It was just one of those weeks. And it's just one of his strategies. I just, honest to God, it really is. It's one of his strategies. When I'm going to minister or preach or teach or share or something, when retreats are coming, you can always tell because it's just like all the ugly breaks loose and rains down. It's just the way it is. It's like I can just about tell you when I'm going to, especially when there's a certain thing I want to teach on. Giants? Well, yeah, okay, good luck with that, Sandy. Get ready. You know, it's just the way that it is. It's his strategy. So he says, to that end, keep alert. So family, to that end, this week, let's keep alert. To that end, let's watch with strong purpose and perseverance, interceding on behalf of not just for us, but for our family sitting all around us here and our families at home, our friends, our coworkers, those that he brings to our hearts. I put little stickers, sticky different places to pray for certain people because I get busy and sometimes I forget. So I've got a friend of ours, my husband's and Myrna's husband, he has some issues. And so Marissa says, let's pray. We need to pray for him. So I got a sticky right where it says how fast I'm going. I always look at that. There's his name right next to it on my dash. It's like 55, better be, but there's his name. You know, so I put it there so I can remember to pray for him. It's a strategy that I have today. Today we have a choice. Today we have a choice. Are we going to be giant killers or are we going to run and hide? We came in here to receive. Are we going to walk out of here in a defensive posture like, if I don't see it, it's not there? Are we choosing to be an overcomer or one who is overcome? Are we going to walk in discouragement or are we going to walk in victory? Are we going to be full of strife this week or are we going to walk in freedom? Are we going to have joy and allow it to be our strength? Or are we going to walk in anxiety all week long till we crawl back in next Sunday? I know what I choose to do, and truly I believe I know what you choose to do too. We have good intentions, and now it's our choice whether or not we're going to walk in that freedom, in his light and in his strength, or if we walk out and we start to listen to the wrong voices, because you will immediately begin to hear voice in your spirit. You know, it's just one more week. It's just one more sermon. But they don't understand my situation. They don't know what I'm walking through. They don't understand what I have to do. They don't understand what I have to deal with all week long. I don't, but God does. God already knows who you are, where you are, and what your circumstances are. And he has a plan for your life. God has a plan for your life, and that plan is for you to succeed. That plan is for you to be a victorious, strong, powerful, awesome Christian. But the key is to choose to follow in his footsteps. The key is to allow him to take us by the hand and literally lead us through the deep waters. There's a scripture I love that you walk through the fire and you won't even smell like smoke. Wow, I love that. I love that because we are his kids and he truly loves us. Today, I want to choose to be a giant killer. I don't want a giant sitting on my shoulders all week long. That's his strategy, especially after this sermon. That definitely is going to be his strategy. He's ticked off because we're learning something that can make a difference in our daily life. Now, what do we choose to do? I choose to be the giant killer this week. And when the missiles begin to come, and when the words from other people begin to come, and when the intimidation wants to come, and when the fiery darts are coming from this way, that way, or whatever, I'm just going to say, in the name of Jesus, get thee behind me, Satan. In the name of Jesus, I choose to follow after Christ's words, and Christ's words tell me that I am an overcomer. In the name of Jesus, Satan, guess what? I am going to send 10,000 angels after yourself if you don't leave me alone. So it's up to you. Do you want them in your face? Then leave me alone. I choose to fight. I choose to find my strategy and walk in the strategy that God has for me. And I choose to be the one that Jesus says, you came back on Sunday, Sandy, better than when you left last Sunday. Not Sandy, my gosh, you just I literally rolled you in like a little lump of clay, let you sit there and Pastor mold you back up again so you can walk back out like Gumby and slowly begin to dissolve. But Sandy, you walked in better this week than when you left. That's my commitment to the Lord this week. Let that be your commitment to the Lord this week as well. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much. Father, we choose to be that giant killer that you want us to be today and all the days to come. We want that true victory, Father God. We want to say victory in Jesus is not just my song, but it's my t-shirt. It's what I wear. I have victory. I have the victory. So, Father God, thank you for the words that you have shared through me this morning. Thank you, Father God, for the heart that you have for us. And that, Father, that you want us to be victorious. Thank you, Father God, that you love us so much that you want to help us to be the best Sandy, the best church, the best mom, the best whatever that we can possibly be. Father, thank you so much. Thank you, Father, and we just give you praise and glory, Father, we truly do. And we thank you for this week, Lord, because this is a special week. This really is, Father. This is a week that we look to what you did for us on the cross. Father, this is a week that we look to your Son who gives everything that he has, his very life, his very blood, so that we might be that victorious person you want us to be. Thank you, Father. We truly, truly are blessed. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's give Sandy a hand clap.